Hello, I'm Jim Mallard, host of The Mallard Report. On The Mallard Report, along with my guest, we will have a conversation where we will share thoughts and opinions. For more information, my bio, past shows, social media links, and so much more, visit mallard.com. MALLIARD.com. And thanks for listening. Want to welcome everybody to the program this evening. First and foremost, I want to send everybody over to veritiesapparel.com/mallard. Get your 10% off. And I was talking to Aaron the other day. Probably not supposed to say this yet, but we're getting close to having a design picked out and momentous occasion to sell it. So, well, that's enough of a tease about that. But go over to veritiesapparel.com. Awesome stuff already over there, so go pick yourself up one today. My guest tonight is Brian Seach of... Where do I officially label you as? I've got this whole list of things you do, but what should be the comma there? Which one should it be?
Well, I would say basically myself and my wife, we're investigators of the unknown. We're cryptozoologists, ufologists, paranormal researchers. We research it all. Basically, anything on the unexplained is basically what we do.
Well, but you also run the Center for Unexplained Events. That'd be a good one. Host can't read his own writing. The Center for Unexplained Events, the Center for Cryptological Studies. I'm guessing you're probably more into the crypto side of things, if I was going to put a tag on you, but no, that's kind of like picking your favorite child.
Yes, I would say out of everything, though, the cryptids are still my passion, you know, especially Bigfoot. You know, I grew up watching all the old documentaries in the 70s that got me interested, and we've been researching, doing field research for Bigfoot since 2000, so... The Center for Unexplained Events, we started that in 1986, basically as a clearinghouse for all unexplained phenomena, UFOs, ghosts, everything, time travel, Bermuda Triangle, you name it. We start researching, documenting it, collecting newspaper articles, and we now have a huge library downstairs, and which we call our S-Files, the speech files, and it's just grown from there. It's kind of like a passion / obsession.
And we'll put a pin in this obsession and come back to it here in a little bit. But you also do something else, which we were just talking about how long it's been since we actually connected the first time. And God grief. Anyways, but we've got the 12th annual Butler Paranormal, I want to say convention. I didn't write that part down. Is that right?
Conference, yeah.
Conference. Oh, fire me. 12th. That makes me feel 12 old.
12 years, yeah. We're the biggest and longest running in Western Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, actually.
I was going to say. Because we were talking about the one I did in 2011, which makes that 8 years ago, which I also mentioned mm-hmm. that's when I started my show. Maybe it's not a coincidence I never did a second one because we were talking about how much work a show is.
Definitely. There are a lot of work, and we're lucky that we co-sponsor it with a gentleman named Dan Hagman from BORU, which stands for the Butler Organization for Research of the Unexplained. And it's been a labor of love, but it's also a lot of work, you know, to getting the guest speakers in and getting all the vendors. And you want to, you know, always get different speakers in. We're lucky. We've had over, I think we've had 42 different speakers, including the ones this year. In our 12 years, we always have five. So that's about 60 speakers that we've had in. And 42 of them are different. We always try to bring in a lot of the local people that maybe nobody's heard of, or just the people from around here are familiar. We do bring some big guests in. We've had like Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Peter Robbins, Patty Wilson, Rick Fisher, John Sable, Tim Shaw, just to name some, Brett McGinnis. We've had all these gentlemen, researchers have been, you know, at our conference. And We're proud to say that, you know, we are the longest and one of the biggest ones in Pennsylvania. We have always over 40 vendors, from everything from crystals to readers to Bigfoot material to ghosts, UFO. You can buy pretty much anything under the paranormal sun there. So we're pretty proud of it.
So you have, I don't know if this is a good statement or a bad statement, The one name that caught my eye, because he's been a guest on my show, and I've had the pleasure of meeting him before, is John Tenney, this year coming up. And I'd strongly encourage... I haven't seen his lecture. Of course, I've talked to him off the record, so to speak, and I am sure he does a good lecture. I can promise you that. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah, we're very excited about having John Tenney. I have never had the pleasure of meeting him or talking to him, so this is going to be a really big thing for us. We have some of our other speakers, Amy Perry Lane. She's going to be talking on ghost hunting. Jeff Walmsley is going to be talking about Mothman 101. He runs the huge Mothman Festival every year in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. We have another gentleman, Kerry Trent Haggard. He's going to be talking about UFOs in the Old West. And a cryptozoologist from the Great Lakes, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Shaykhan Noor. And then John Tenney is going to be talking about evolutions and the origins and evolution of what seemed to be reality. So I'm really looking forward to hearing him, and hopefully you can come down for this, Jim. I think you'll really, really enjoy it this year.
It's on my calendar, but we all know how that goes. And, you know, I was just thinking about this. I was thinking about all these events that I have on this calendar, and I'm like, man, even not even presenting at these things, just trying to go catch up with people that you like, it's just...
Yeah, and it is April 6th. I should have mentioned the date. I'm sorry. It's April 6th, and it's 10 to 7. It's $15 admission, and it's at the Tanglewood Senior Center in 10 Austin Avenue in Lindora, PA, Butler County. So yeah, I did want to get that in.
Yeah.
People want to know where it is.
Or as I would tell you, a month from tomorrow.
A month from, yeah. Yep. Wow, it is a month from tomorrow. Wow.
He just went, oh, boy, I should be doing something else besides this interview.
Well, we're pretty much done. We still have a couple more vendor tables that are coming in, but now it's just advertising from now and then. So I think we got most of the hard work out of the way, except the day of, which is always crazy in the mornings. Everyone's racing around trying to get their tables ready and setting up everything. So it's pretty hectic in the morning, and then once the people come in, everybody's calm.
As I say, behind the curtain here, a little too far. Do you actually enjoy the day of at all?
Oh, we love it. We love it. If we could only do one event or, go to one event or sponsor, it would be the Butler Conference. It's just, everybody looks forward to it, no matter who's the speakers. It's like one big family. Everybody looks forward to seeing each other that one time a year. And, it's just great. We'll do it until we can't do it anymore. So we hope we can get to a 20. We got 8 more to go.
Ambitious.
Maybe beyond. It all depends.
Hey, but if there's enough people helping you and people are showing up, I mean, you got to keep it rolling.
Yeah, last year was our record attendance. It was over 200. So we were really proud, proud of that. With all the workers and all the vendors, we were close to 300, either people, the vendors, we were about 300 people. So it's a lot of people.
Maybe you don't want to put the fire. You can't put that out there. The fire marshal will probably be upset.
No, I think it actually holds more because there's one huge room and then there's a back room.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the back room.
You were there, weren't you?
Yeah, I've been to the back room. I've been to the back room. Got in trouble. Yelled at.
Yes.
Not by you.
It wasn't me, honest. I didn't.
Not by you, but by. Anyways, I was being a Weisenheimer. I deserved it.
I would never yell at you, Jim.
No, it wasn't you. So you're all good. Actually, somewhere on my Facebook, there's a bunch of pictures of me in the back room with a bunch of different people. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
From whatever year that was. That was a couple years ago, too. Mm-hmm. I fail. But anyways, so back to okay, I'm going to ask Germantown Runner's question first, because it's better than the one I was just going to spell it into. Is there a saturation point when the public comes to the paranormal of topics, or is it interest that is always actually increasing?
Is there a saturation point? You wonder. I mean, there's been probably a saturation now of Bigfoot-only events. I think everywhere you turn, like in PA and Ohio, there's a Bigfoot event. I think the difference between our conference and other ones is we always try to mix it up. We don't always have all ghost speakers. We will have a ghost speaker with a UFO speaker. with a Bigfoot speaker or with someone talking about something out of the blue. We always try to mix it up, even their topics. We want to know what their topics are because we don't want to be labeled. Well, basically, a paranormal conference encompasses everything. So that's kind of now, if there was a paranormal conference every month or so, then yeah, there would be a maybe a saturation point. But it does take a lot to to actually get these things going and plan them. And if they weren't successful, people weren't coming, we wouldn't have them. So, but I think there's a saturation point with everything.
So I guess that I need to back up and step back for a second. Because as I'm thinking about people locally between, you know, that I know that go to that event and all this other stuff, there's a lot of us. Maybe it seems disproportional because there's a lot of us, like paranormal people that I know that are kind of out and about and do these shows and do, you know what I'm saying?
Is it just
not me then? You notice what I'm saying?
Yeah. If you would count in all your psychic fairs and your ghost conferences only, yeah, there is a lot. We first started this, there wasn't as many in 2008. There wasn't as many as there is now. Now there's a proliferation of different conferences in PA, Ohio, and West Virginia, in the three states that we're near. So I guess it depends. Hey, if a lot of these conferences, there'll be one or two and then they're done. To go 12 years, I mean, that's rare to go that long,
I know far too well about one and done.
Yeah, I mean, we actually really enjoyed your conference that time up in Meadville. That's when we met you, so we enjoyed it.
But, here's what we need to do, bro. We needed to put a name on this, like the Golden Triangle, and we'll just pick points and write a book about it. No, wait.
There you go. The three-state triangle. There's a lot of weird stuff in PA, as you know.
Yeah.
Ohio, also in down West Virginia. So we live in a really strange area.
We might be onto something here, by the way. This might just not be more. This might be more than the punchline. This might be actually onto something. So, I look up and there's four more questions. These people don't realize the show's only an hour. They don't realize the show's only an hour. Do you have a favorite topic? Cryptids, ufology, ghosts, etc.
Well, my favorite, has always been Bigfoot because I've researched that the longest. So I would have to say that. Some of the other ones that we've been doing are the Dogman and some of these winged entity creatures. In 2011, there was a creature sighted in Chicora, Pennsylvania. They called the Chicora Gargoyle. And it basically looked like a gargoyle. It had huge wings, had a helmeted head. It was gray. Dan Hegman from Boru, who we just talked about, he had, I think, 11 or 12 sightings of this creature, some of the eyewitnesses he talked with. The Dogman, we've been investigating Dogman since 08, and the Dogman is a werewolf type creature, which I hate to use that term, but seen in Ohio and Pennsylvania. We started that when we initially started it. There's only a few researchers that did it. Now I'm also a member of another organization called the North American Dogman Project, which is Jody Cook runs that out of Ohio. He's a good friend of mine. And I'm in that organization also, but I would still have to say the cryptids. Although we do still do some UFO, some ghost research, but still the cryptids.
This Dogman thing has baffled me. I mean, I'm just like you. I kind of have my hand on everything, but not enough to know things. Not enough to know everything, I guess. Enough to get myself in trouble. And That one kind of always gets me. And I don't know if it gets me because it just seems too... Well, I don't know. I can't put my finger on what puts me off about it, but there's just something that... I don't know. I know that's not really... But I guess maybe because you mentioned werewolves, and maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe are we kind of blurring lines again like Bigfoot and Sasquatch?
Some people say that, but I contend that these are two different creatures altogether. And when you said you can't put your hand on it, that was one of the, when we first started researching, I'm like, oh, come on, werewolves? Not really? I mean, We lived in, I think I told you, we lived in Mercer County, closer to you,
mm-hmm.
Grove City, for 3 years, and we never heard about it. This creature that Linda Gottfried had in a book, they called it the Shenango Valley Werewolf. And we were living back down here in Hopewell when we heard about it. And I saw this book, and I'm like, what is this? We didn't hear anything about this Shenango Valley Werewolf. So we did some research. We were up at another conference in Mercer, and we put out a flyer. We had a table, and somebody came, hey, I saw this little creature. They call it a dog boy. So we interviewed the lady. We went to the location where she said she saw it, and we were able actually to get through some research, and we did a presentation up in a library. We had over 100 people talking about Bigfoot and the werewolf type creature. And when we mentioned this road called Hopper Road, which this is where this little, and they called it the dog boy, which I'll get to you in a minute, but we think it actually was a boy now with who had a symptom called hypertrichosis, which is called werewolf syndrome. But we think that's what it actually was. It wasn't a little werewolf boy. But we mentioned this Hopper Road, and everybody start looking at each other, and they start whispering, and a look of terror on some of these people's faces. And we just stopped the presentation. I said, what do you guys know about Hopper Road? And we start hearing, oh, there's a bunch of weird things there. Oh, I've seen things. And it was just a really weird atmosphere. I wish that was taped. As soon as we mentioned that road, Hopper Road, everybody just like, they were looking around at each other, and some of the people's eyes were getting bigger. I mean, there were some weird, we think there's some weird things happening on there. When we did the initial investigation there, we had about 5 or 6 cars stop because we had our cars alongside the road, and the eyewitness got out, and she was showing where this little dog boy ran and grabbed her. We had like 5 or 6 cars. They stopped. What are you guys doing here? What are you seeing? And it was like the whole neighborhood there start coming around and asking us what was going on. We were able to get, we sent that story to the Monsters and Mysteries in America show. We were able to get that story on there about the dog boy. So if you ever get a chance to, maybe you saw it, they call it the Shenango dog boy episode. So, it was interesting. So it was one of the neater ones we've covered.
What was the name of the show again? I don't recall seeing that.
It was called Monsters and Mysteries in America.
Monsters.
It was on the Destination America. Luckily, I was able to be on about 3 episodes of it. So it was pretty cool.
You know what I'm doing here in about 40 minutes. I guess I could do it now, but that'd be kind of rude. And for those asking, yes, I do have my glasses on tonight. Ugh, feel old, but, you know, sometimes.
I just got some, too. Don't feel bad.
I've had them for a while, and the eye doctor keeps saying to me, you know, you're supposed to be wearing those when you're on a computer. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Well, do it. oh, yeah, yeah, about that. The actual function of the technique. Okay. So I'm trying again. Let's talk about Bigfoot, because I know that's one of the things that's right up your alley. And it's mm-hmm. Okay, so have you ever seen one?
No, unfortunately I haven't. That's one of the reasons, to be honest with you, is I first got into this. I want to see one myself. I would, hopefully my wife and I could see one together. I've watched all the, you know, since the 70s, I've watched all these shows about them. I've read all these books and tons of articles, and I've talked to so many witnesses who I believe saw this creature. And there's definitely something to it. What this creature is, some people say it's an unknown primate, North American primate, or it's a descendant of Gigantopithecus, or it's an interdimensional creature. I don't know what it is, but I do believe the people who we talked to have definitely had a sighting of this creature. You know, how it stays hidden, all the other things that go with the phenomenon, because we call it the Bigfoot phenomena. I'm not 100% sure of, but I think somehow this creature's out there, or is it there occasionally and then goes into another dimension? I'm not sure. But all across Pennsylvania, Ohio, people research it. There's more Bigfoot groups now in Pennsylvania than there's ever been in their history. Ohio is littered with Bigfoot researchers. I mean, Ohio's probably got three times the researchers that Pennsylvania does, even. And we're all out looking for the same thing. Does it exist? I'm going to say somehow it does, because I don't think the people that we've talked to, I don't think they're lying. I really don't think that they're lying. I think that they're reporting an actual creature that's not supposed to exist.
So I'm going to ask this question a different way than the person in the chat room, just so they know. Okay. This is kind of the same vein of the question. So we should be expecting, like, more credible videos or pictures shortly? I mean, as more people are looking for him, assuming he's a male, Bigfoot. you know, that stereotypical approach we take there. I think that's just because I'm a him and I just label him. Yeah, anyways. It's like all dogs are hims, you know. Anyways.
Yeah, I understand.
Is that an accurate assessment, or am I saying something I shouldn't?
No, I mean, you're right. One of the kind of the problems is, well, if there's something that big out there in the forests of Pennsylvania, Ohio, why don't we have more physical proof? Why don't we have more pictures? Well, I do think that there are more pictures out there than what people know about. I really do think that. I think there's more deer cam photos. I've talked to people who say, I've got a deer cam a photo on my, you know, it had out in my woods on my property, and I got something that I'm not going to show anybody. A lot of people now, they're keeping a lot of this close to the vest. Some people share them, and the thing is, what you got to realize, if you share something on Facebook or whatever, and you go public with it, you're going to take a lot of scrutiny. You're going to be attacked. You're going to say, oh, well, that's just a man in a suit. That's a hoax. You're going to have to defend your picture tooth and nail. And a lot of people see that. A lot of people see what happens when somebody comes forth and they figure, hey, you know what? This isn't worth it. So, I mean, I've seen a nice video that came out of, Wellsville, Ohio, where the exact place where the Ohio Howl was taken. Not many people know. There's actually a video that was taken on that same property. And basically, there's an infrared light, and he has a basket of fruit or something. And you see this hand come around the tree, and then you see a face, and it looks like it's sniffing the air, and then it just goes right back into the forest. I mean, the hand and the face are white because of the infrared lights. But not a lot of people have seen that video. So, but the gentleman is right who said that, if it is a gentleman, that we should be having a lot more proof. And I think that the proof is out there, but the people just aren't coming forth. And frankly, I can't blame it. I can't, after I see the way the community reacts, I really can't blame some of the people for not wanting to share their evidence, to be honest with you.
How do we get past that? I know, very, very short question for a very difficult answer.
How do we get past it? Boy, if you find out, let me know.
We all want the same thing. We want to see these incredible pictures of Bigfoot. I think we can agree on that. I hate to say. Every once in a while, I have these basic tenets on the show, and I think that is one of them. Everybody wants to see the cool ghost stuff, the cool Bigfoot stuff, the cool UFO stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we're sitting here talking about it, and I know you're 120% right about people not wanting to release it because they don't want the trolls, the internet trolls, not encrypted trolls. Just making sure I'm clear about that for some people. Attack it, and because at some point it just becomes wasted time for them trying to defend a picture that. So we've got to figure this out.
I agree with you. The best thing, maybe if you can go to a scientist like Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum or someone like that and work at it from there. I mean, there's also a lot of hoaxing done in the field. You know, people try to hoax videos and pictures, and so you don't even, like, sometimes you don't really know what to believe, who to believe. There's some really, you know, I've seen some kind of convincing looking pictures people put on the internet, but there's no backstory to it. You can't contact the people, or it's just a picture. Well, you know, there's a lot of people doing Bigfoot movies and things like that, so you really don't know who or what to believe. So you can see why people are skeptical. But yeah, I want to see them just as much as you. I want to see more videos like I saw down in Wellsville, Ohio. But how you get past that, like I said, I don't know if we'll ever get past that unless there's actual a specimen brought in to say this is proof these things exist. Once I think that happens, then I think I think the floodgates will open with pictures and everything else. I really do think that. I came to this realization about 5 or 6 years ago when I'm like, yeah, there's got to be more pictures, more photos. There has to be. Everybody's got a cell phone, hundreds of deer cam photos in the, you know, deer cams in the woods. Just you know, people out sightseeing, hiking with cameras now, drones flying over places. So,
I think you're right. So, you mentioned the ultimate prize. I don't want to say it that way. The tipping point would be a body. Now, mm-hmm. I know you haven't seen one, and I know this is another one of these. Well, this isn't a tenet. This is one of these all-time questions. With opportunity and a rifle, would you bag a Bigfoot?
Never. Even though it could prove one of the greatest mysteries of all, I would never shoot one of these things. I believe they have just as much right to be out there as we do. Would it solve the mystery? Yes, but you would hope that maybe somebody would find one in the woods dead, or, you know, something happens by accident, you find one. But for someone just to go out and kill one, I think it would be, and it almost sounds counterproductive, right, in a way, but I'm like, no, I don't advocate killing these things. And I know people who want to go out and kill them, and I don't subscribe to that. I never did. Maybe the mystery is not meant to be solved in our lifetime. I'd rather have that happen than someone shoots one, to be honest with you. I know it might sound counterintuitive to what I research, but I wouldn't want to see it.
But why haven't we found the dead one, though? Or bones, or any of that other...
Well, the standard answer to that is, you know, nature has a really good disposal system out in the woods. Other animals will eat the body, porcupines will eat the bones. So it doesn't take long for any kind of animal to disappear, basically. And if these, we want to call them creatures, if they are more than creatures, we believe they're in family units, and we believe a lot of people believe that they probably bury their own. Again, it's all subjective, I know, but when you take a lot of those factors in consideration, I'll give you a quick little example. We used to live in Grove City, and we had to make a left and go onto the main road, and there was a big raccoon that had got killed, okay? And I drove by it every day. Like, you know, within 1 week, it swelled up, okay? And then it basically, you know, the animals ate it, and within 1 week, you hardly saw anything. And that was alongside of a road, okay? And, you know, it wasn't in the woods. In the woods, it's going to deteriorate quicker. So also another... Some people think, hey, you know, maybe they actually have found one, or maybe there's some kind of conspiracy. There's a government. if somebody reports one of these, no, I mean, it does. I know some people may say it might be a conspiracy.
I know.
Think about that for a second, though.
Oh, I trust me. I do. Way too many government.
Yeah, they watch everything you do anyway, you know? And so if there is a big ape out there, or whatever you want to call it, and they're monitoring and they're watching, you know, would they come and try to take it away? I bet you they would. I mean, again, might sound crazy to some.
Well, you know, you got the Men in Black. I mean, it's not that crazy. Well,
yeah,
maybe to a normal person, but you're talking to somebody that isn't. So, what about the other woodland creatures? Gnomes, fairies, pixies. Do you do any of that stuff?
We do a little bit. My wife and our friend Leah, who's in the group, they're really into the gnome, the fae, I guess you want to call them. We did. There was an interesting picture. If you look under, I think it was called the Butler Gnome. And we actually talked to that gentleman. We really tried to get on his property, but didn't really work. We're still trying to work on it. We're in contact with him. But he took a very interesting set of two photos that kind of looks... and you can look it up on the internet. I believe it does. If you would type in Butler Gnome, if you see the picture, it's really interesting. It kind of looks like a little gnome would be, and there's two pictures of it, and pretty compelling. I mean, there is stories about little creatures, little men, little up in the Adirondacks in New York. There's a lot of stories of little people, so it is a very interesting thing. We've done a couple investigations on it, one here in Beaver County, but we took pictures and things like that. Nothing came of it, but I think let's face it, if we can't find a 6-foot gigantic ape hiding in the woods, if these creatures, as small as they are, these humans or whatever you want to call them, gnomes, pixies, how are you going to find them? They're even smaller. So I think a lot more research has to be done in that area, but it is very interesting.
Well, I think we have a lot more places for a 2-foot, 18-inch high thing to hide than a 6-7 foot. I mean, upwards. I mean, I've even heard some crazy numbers when it comes to that stuff. So,
yeah, if there's anybody listening to, you know, tonight, if they do want to contact us with any of these, whether it be a gnome or a gargoyle or a Bigfoot, please, you know, go to our Facebook pages, or later on I'll give you, you know, our email. You can contact us, because this is one of the things we do while we go on the radio shows and while we talk at some of these conferences. We're trying to get a few, you know, reports so we can actually go out and investigate them. This is the lifeblood of what we do. So if anyone is listening, please contact us.
Maybe that's the answer. Maybe I don't want to post my picture, but if you come and investigate my picture and say, hey, you're on to something, I'll say, hey, post my picture, because I don't want to deal with the... Anyways, so maybe there's something here. Maybe we know the answer, we just got to convince people of the answer.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've waited all of 32 minutes, because let's rewind the tape for those of everybody who has never heard the story, because nobody has. Brian and I met at my event 7-8 years ago. Ugh. Anyways, and guy walks up to me and says hello and introduces himself and his wife, and we're having a pleasant little chat. And he goes, one more thing. Do you not have any local cryptid stories? And I went, well, yes, I do. And I told you about a giant turtle who supposedly flipped over a, I don't want to say rowboat, but that's kind of what it was, while they were working on the interstate going through the Geneva Swamp. And I've heard that multiple times from different people that, I mean, don't know each other. So, I you know, as you hear it, and then I, you know, been out to the swamp, sat there. I mean, you know, it's a cool place to just kind of go sit when the sun's going down over actual, technically, Geneva. And just let it wind down. Never seen anything, of course, but it's kind of a cool nature place, especially when, because there's a little dirt road at the bottom that you can go and kind of be away from people, unless it's fishing season, and then all bets are off. But anyways, so you've got more information for me than I had for you.
Well, yeah, we were actually up at it was a outdoor show. It was about a month ago up in Monroe. It wasn't even a month ago. I think it was about 2.5 weeks ago up in Monroeville. And there was a gentleman there from the Crawford County Tourism. And I just said, hey, I got to ask you, you guys ever see any, you ever get any reports, any kind of strange animals or anything weird or anything up there? He says, no, not really. I said, do you ever get anything from the Geneva Swamp? He goes, well, what are you talking about? I said, you ever gotten any reports of a giant turtle there? I said, they kind of nickname it the Geneva Swamp Turtle. I said, it was supposed to be a huge, oversized turtle that reportedly can, like, you know, tip over a small boat. He says, well, he hasn't heard any sightings or anything about from Geneva, but he did say that he lived in right on Conneaut Lake. And he claimed he saw a massive snapping turtle there. He says it was huge. He says it was, he said that at the head of this thing was as big as his head. And he says, well, other people saw it too. I think he saw it by, he was on the one edge of the lake and he saw it going in a channel. Now, I posted, which I do occasionally on the Facebook page, FYI Crawford County. I don't know if you've ever been on that.
My wife is. I refuse to be, but that's a whole different story for another show.
Well, I can maybe see why, because believe me, I've taken my share of abuse. I've been posted on there for 2 years, and I've asked about everything from Bigfoot and Dogman, and a good chunk of them are they're making fun of me. But there are some people who come forward. So I did mention about this turtle, and I said, does anyone have any information on this? Well, some guy came on, and he says, I've seen some large snappers in Conneaut before, usually off the point where this gentleman says that he saw it, but also up in the canal, which there's apparently been sightings of that. And he said the one at the point was the largest. Its head was probably the size of a cantaloupe, and the shadow of the body was 3 to 4 feet across at a minimum. And another person said, I saw a snapper just north of Geneva Swamp, was crossing the railroad tracks. It covered both rails with plenty of shell hanging over on both sides. And then another gentleman said, I saw a big snapper on Route 19 back in 05 that stopped traffic while it crossed a bridge over the Geneva Swamp. They said it was huge, and nobody was brave enough to get out of their cars. It just went slowly across. And then the last person said, about 30 years ago when I was 10, I saw a snapper about 3.5 feet from head to tail out by Mama Bear's restaurant, crossing the road from one side of the swamp to the other. So there you have it right there. I mean, one of the kind of interesting things is, especially when I talked to you, it made me think more about in a county, say Crawford County, you have a legend of Geneva Swamp Turtle. I never heard of it. I lived in Pennsylvania my whole life. I never heard of it. We've been researching cryptids. Not that this is a cryptid. This is just an oversized turtle. But you can see how sometimes the legend of something is true. It might not be as big as what, not gamma sized or anything, but you can see even with the Shenango Dog Boy, I do believe people were seeing something. It wasn't, I don't think it was a supernatural creature. I think it was just a deformed boy with hypertrichosis. The Eerie Wolf Boy, which we do believe after doing some research that the one in Mercer, the Shenango Dog Boy, we believe moved, the family moved up to Erie because this Erie Wolf Boy was seen. And apparently the boy died. I even got a last name, which I'm not going to mention because I was on another website or another Facebook page and someone said the name. So you can see how, legends do have some truth to them. And that's what I think is really interesting. I mean, I do believe there's a giant turtle up there. How big? I'm not sure, but it just really, after you told me that, I was like so interested in that. And I really tried to research this and didn't really come to much until like about a couple weeks ago. So if there's anybody listening that knows anything about this, we'd like to hear from them also, because it is something interesting, I think. Don't you? I mean,
I'm still fascinated by it. I if it's just a big turtle, I still want to see it. I just still want to see
it. Yeah, me too.
Just to put it to bed, just to say, yeah, there's a 3-foot turtle crossing the road. Picture done. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I mean, he's a big boy. He's got to have some years on him.
Yeah, yeah. And I think snappers can live over. Snapping turtle can live over 100 years old, I believe. And there's been huge ones, all over the place. And if something's in that swamp, it pretty much can rule that swamp. Can rule that swamp if there's something that big.
Definitely, and I have to look it up, but if there is a connection between Conneaut Lake and the swamp. I think there's a stream that runs between them, but I'd have to look it up to confirm that.
Okay.
So there's a way around. I mean, but is it deep enough for a turtle that's 3 foot? Yeah, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sleeping well tonight, thinking about this turtle.
But I just thought that was just really. Because when you told me about that, this is why that when we go places, like even at that outdoor show, I went and I talked to people. I talked to people from, Crawford, Butler. I mean, I thought, hey, you have any interesting stories? I'm not shy. Some of them look at me like I'm crazy, but this is what a researcher does. You want to talk to people. You want to get the reports. You want to see if there's any substance to it. So it's fun, too. It's a lot of fun when people open up to you, because you know that they're not going to. You're not going to make fun of them,
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's part of. I mean, like I said with you, you just kind of just threw it out there. I wasn't planning on telling a cryptid story that day, but you asked, and I had one, so there we went. But if you wouldn't have asked, I probably wouldn't have even thought about telling you, especially that day.
And yeah, would it? Yeah, and what's the interesting thing about it is, you know, like in 2 weeks, I'm going down to Fayette County. I'm giving a presentation at a Bigfoot event down there, and I want to hear the people's, you know, some of their stories, you know, about some weird other, you know, because there's tons of Bigfoot stories down there. I don't need those. I'd like to get some other strange cryptids that maybe they have a different name for them down there, but if maybe it's, you know, Mothman or Winged Entity or Dogman or whatever. So it's just, it's interesting when you start talking, if you can get the trust of the locals and they know you're not going to make fun of them, which you can find out. I believe all across the United States, there's different things being seen with different names. Well, Bigfoot in itself is tons of different names for Bigfoot. A lot are tailored to the area. We were down to North Carolina several years ago. We walked into one of these shops, and I said, hey, you know, you might think I'm crazy, but you ever seen any creatures that look like Bigfoot? And he says, oh, you mean boogers. We call them boogers down here. You know, B-O-O-G-E-R, boogers. So, you know, down south, it's skunk ape. You know, there's different names for Bigfoot. In Ohio, sometimes they name it the grass man. So there's a lot of... We actually have a Bigfoot around Pennsylvania into Ohio. It's a white Bigfoot that we call Whitey. We've named him Whitey. He's been seen about like 7 or 8 times. So it's interesting. I mean, there's some weird things out there that if people would start talking to you more, you get a lot more information.
So... Not calling you out directly. Just take this for a grain of salt. Not you. Listener you okay. Out there. You know how we have all these stupid maps of pop and soda pop and all this other crap that nobody cares about? We should get we should get the names for Bigfoot and all these other things put on a map like that. Now that would be cool, and I would share that one. Okay.
Yeah, actually, you know what? The cool thing, somebody in Ohio made a map. I think it was like a haunted Ohio map or something. And it listed, I mean, it didn't list them all, but it listed some UFO sightings, some cryptid sightings, some haunted places. And, they had actually sold out of the map. I don't even know if they make it anymore, but it's a fold out map. Like you would, hey, here's a map of Pennsylvania. It was a big map. It was huge. And, yeah, something like that would be pretty cool.
So. Somebody out there with way too much free time.
No. Well, this is what people don't realize. Even like us, we do have some book projects, and we've done a little bit of work on a local project, but we just don't have the time to sit down and write what we want to with it. But we will get one out, maybe several. I have some ideas about several books, but it's never been that much of an important thing for me to drop everything and just work on a book. Because we know a lot of authors. We actually give a lot of authors material from our files. And I actually have to write a little couple page on some winged entities for the lady who's coming down from Michigan. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not the greatest writer. I'm not going to lie. But I have to sit there and do some research and, you know, try to get some of this written. So, and it's not easy. There's some great, great writers that we know. They're great at what they do, you know. And
As I tell people, there's a reason I talk and don't write. So I hear you.
100%. Yeah. I mean, see, I'm sure you'd have a lot of great stories to tell too. But again, it takes time and people don't realize that. I mean, you know, everybody says, you got all this information and you can write a ton of books. I'm like, well, yeah, me and Carrie could if we had the time or if it was super important to us. I mean, but we would rather go out there than sit there and write it and document everything. And so, well, yeah,
somebody suggested to me that I should talk and have it transcribed. The only problem is, if I start telling a story and then I remember a piece from another story and another story, and then you start looking at story A and you're like, how did you end up eating a hot dog in Pittsburgh? What I can't follow the chain of events that happened there. Well, that's because the hot dog in Pittsburgh happened 5 years before that story started. That's probably why you can't follow it, but it's all connected. It all plays back and forth. And yeah.
So. Yeah, and the older you get, too, this is another thing. I'm really big on exact dates, okay? I really am. And a lot of the ones that, you know, the stuff that we researched, yeah, it's in binders and stuff like that. And I'd have to go back, and I want exact dates, times, if possible, drawings. And, yeah, we could get that, but now I'm going to have to go through the files and everything and write it down, you know, and... Because I want the correct story to get out there. Now, we don't use eyewitness names ever, but so the name's not going to be a problem. But we wouldn't use, say, exact location if it was in someone's backyard. We're not going to say, we would just give a roundabout, hey, it was in Wampum or something like that. We wouldn't say, hey, it's on 1215 Ashmore Street or something. We don't do that. But it's really important for us to get accurate stuff out there. So some of our... when we write, some of the stuff is probably going to be a little bit boring because I like to be real technical with that kind of stuff.
And there is a Western Pennsylvania town name, if you've ever heard one, Wampum, by the way.
yeah.
Speaking of Western Pennsylvania, the international people are probably rolling their eyes at me at this point, but that's okay. Are there more Bigfoot sightings up, say, Warren County, the National Forest, you know where I'm at, that direction, or is it more...
Yeah, Allegheny National Forest, yeah.
You know,
yeah, there's
I'm
a
at.
Lot of sightings up there.
Or yeah. is there Ron, more down your way, the Westmoreland County, I guess that's past you, but still, Westmoreland County, Washington County, that block down the corner of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, a good chunk of the Bigfoot sightings do occur on the Chestnut Ridge. That's the ridge that runs from Indiana down in Indiana County, down to... right around Morgantown. I think it's a 100-mile ridge or something like that. And Westmoreland is like your top county for Bigfoot sightings, and right 1A is Fayette County. And Stan Gordon, a longtime researcher, he's researched Westmoreland since the 60s with his organizations. Now he does it himself. So he has a lot of sightings from there. Now my good friend Fred Saluga has an organization. He's had it for a couple years down in Fayette County. And this is his event coming up, actually. So that's how they're getting a lot of sightings down there. So here, you know, we've been around for a while, but it's hard for us to get our name out there. So that's why we went from Q, which we still have Q, to the Center for Cryptozoological Studies, so we could try to get more of the cryptid reports. And it has worked. When we're with Q, people are like, what's that? You know, it's a Center for Unexplained Events. You know, they didn't think cryptid. Now, when you say cryptozoological people associated with Bigfoot, and we have a logo out there with a Bigfoot on it and everything, and people are coming to us more and more, so it's helped. So the new group in 2012 is when we had that, we started that. It's really helped us get the reports.
2012, yikes. Where does this time go, Brian? I mean, we need a time machine.
I don't know.
Slow time down.
Yeah, I'm getting too old myself, I hear you. Can't do this forever, Jim.
It's not old. It just makes me feel old, man. It's just like, man, I blinked and I missed 10 years. Oh.
Yep.
Okay, so if there's any place in the world that you'd like to go do field research on cryptids, where would it be?
We always wanted to go to the Pine Barrens in New Jersey, looking for the Jersey Devil. It's always been I'd like to take a trip down there, look for the good old Jersey Devil. We drove by the Pine Barrens when we were on vacation. Oh, years ago. I can't remember how many years now. And it's an eerie place just driving. We were driving down the Garden State Parkway, just looking at the rows of pines. Right before we did that, we were driving up and down this one section looking for the Parkway Phantom. This was a alleged ghost that wore a red flannel shirt. It was called the Parkway Phantom. So it was right around this one exit. And again, I forget, it was so long ago. So we found out about it. Let's drive up and down here 3 or 4 times with our cameras and see if we saw it. Of course, we didn't see anything, but it was kind of like a nice little side thing that we did, you know.
I was going to say, what's the craziest side thing you've done? I'll tell you mine, and then it gives you a second to think about yours. I intentionally took us an hour and 45 minutes out of our way to go to a cemetery. Not to ghost hunt, not to do anything. I just had to pay respects to somebody that was buried there because of a backstory of a ghost story, but not to investigate there, just to say thank you and yes, I've made it, quote unquote. Now, can you And sure enough, they did leave me alone after that. So that's my craziest side trip. What's yours?
Well, I would have to say one of the ones that we did is we went to see with my my wife's cousin down in Gaffney, South Carolina, and we found out literally a couple miles away on a road that we found out. We researched it before we went there. There was a road, and again, I forget the name. It was allegedly, if you drive down the end of this road and have your lights on, you would see the ghost of this white wolf. So we drove all the way down to the end of the road, and we're sitting there, and I had my camcorder out, and there was like one last house there, and I'm like, you know, the lights were on, and it looked like something was going to come out. So we're like, well, I think we better get out of here, because they wouldn't want some Yankees in our Pennsylvania place just sitting there, you know. So we just we just decided to leave, but that was a pretty cool. We didn't see anything or catch anything on tape, but I just thought it was a pretty cool little side trip. But it was really only a couple miles from where we were staying with her cousin. I thought that was pretty cool.
I have this belief in my head that I don't want people turning around in my driveways, so I don't turn around in other people's driveways. Just kind of out of
yeah.
So we were going to do an interview, not even an investigation, going to talk to the people. And we were in town, proper town of this town. I mean, this is a legitimate town. And I'm like, so I just go past the house, you know, kind of getting a look and seeing if there were where we could park. And there's no more cross streets. And there's just a couple more houses. And then there's some woods. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, getting on the edge of town. Next thing I know, I swear to you, there is high tensile wire, which is cow fence, on both sides of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this pile of sawdust in front of us. Mm-hmm. And I went, where did I go wrong? I'm now in the middle of a cow field. I literally was on a street in town, and like 2 miles later, I'm in the middle of a cow field.
Wow.
And I'm like, trying to turn around on this, you know, because like I said, there's high tensile fence on both sides, and I'm like trying not to knock that down because I don't want to let all these cows out.
Uh-huh.
I'm not that guy. No.
Yeah.
I'm not standing here while we, you know, hunt somebody down to fix my mess because I'm an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That doesn't go well.
It's fun. It's fun. There's a lot of fun things you can do. We went down to Calvert Cliffs, Maryland. We were looking for fossil shark teeth and things like that. And so one day we were just sitting, and it was a Chesapeake Bay, and I'm like, let's just sit for a while at the binoculars and look for Chessie the sea serpent. So yeah, we didn't see him, but it was fun, you know. And then we did some fossil hunting. So yeah, there's a lot of fun, different fun things that you could do, not just Bigfoot. There's a ton of mysteries out there, and you know, you could sit out and sky watch for UFOs and things like that. So it's there's so many you know, ghosts, of course.
So, I'm going to reword this question, too. Is there a busier time of year? Is it winter or summer for cryptids, or does that not really matter?
Well, I think more people see a lot of these cryptids just in the summer and the better weather because there's more people out. One of the interesting things here in Beaver County, especially pertaining to Bigfoot, we, you know, writing all the sightings down, most of our sightings here come between like October and this September, October, and then they usually end in January. Very seldom get any reports between January and in the summer. You get some, but you don't get a lot. So it's like kind of weird. It's like some people say, oh, if they migrate, are they migrating through here then? I'm like, I don't know that. All I can tell you is, you know, if you get more reports in like a 4 month period, you know, is there a trend? I mean, it seems so, but you know, but there's the old saying, there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. So, you know, I don't know.
And what's the other statistic, Chuck? What is it? 73% of the statistics are made up on the spot. So,
yeah, I like that one. Never heard that.
Oh boy, I'm glad I was able to tell you that one. I can't believe every time I normally tell that, everybody's already heard that one before. So I'm glad to be able to break that with somebody. Has there ever been one something that you went out, set out to look up or investigate, and you just went there and you went, oh, it was the Santa behind a tree, I guess, because that's kind of something that happened to me. Because somebody kept seeing something, you know, in the woods, and then you walk out there and there's this old Christmas decoration that's kind of flimsy and it blows in the wind, so you can kind of see them sometimes, and if the wind's blowing the other direction, you don't see them.
Well, I remember the one time, I think it was, I don't remember if it was me and my wife or me and my friend Chris, that we saw these lights in the sky. This was like when we first had the group, and they looked like they were going around in like a circular motion, so we drove and we followed them. It ended up being two searchlights from a car lot. So, I mean, that was one of the. This is when we very first started UFO research. Would have been in like '86 or something like that. And like, oh my God, they're staying in one place, but they're going back and forth. It's like, yeah, it was two searchlights.
Do they do that anymore? Does anybody know if car dealerships still do that?
I don't really know. I can't remember the last time that we saw that.
I was saying, because you were telling that story, I'm like, I remember seeing it like a long time ago, but I haven't seen it recently.
Yeah. Maybe they don't do it because it's too expensive with electricity now. I don't know.
Somebody out there knows. There's got to be an answer to this question. I'm sure somebody probably still does it. If not, why did it go extinct? There you go. There's your first book. Why do car dealers not flash those big lights anymore? Mystery one solved. No, okay, so... Run it. We've got 3 minutes left. I told you we'd get there in a hurry.
Okay.
Where can people find the groups and more information about the event and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, basically, if you want to come to either one of our Facebook pages, which would be the Center for Unexplained Events, and the other is the Center for Cryptozoological Studies. And as far as the Butler Conference, we even have a Facebook page. I believe it is the 12th annual Butler Conference. If you type it in, you'll see the schedule, the speakers, and all the pertinent information for that. And you'll also see some pictures from former conferences. And if you would want to email me, if you have a sighting of anything or anything unusual, you could email me at centerforcryptostudies@gmail.com or bseach@comcast.net. And we really do want to hear your stories, whether they be a giant turtle, a giant snake, a Bigfoot, anything. Gnome, fairy, we just want to hear about it. Your names will never be used, so please contact us.
Like I said, I'm going to have nightmares tonight, Brian. I know who to thank. Normally, we kind of joked about government conspiracy. Normally that kind of stuff keeps me awake at night, but now... Big turtles. I guess I should mention at this point that I have two pet turtles downstairs that are, let's say, 6-7 inches. I mean, not nearly as the same size as what we're talking about, so. But yeah. Nevertheless.
Yeah, turtles are pretty cool. Turtles are really cool, yeah.
I wish they were
especially
better.
Especially if you see them in the wild.
I was going to say, I wish they were mine were a little bit better at the self-cleaning bit, but, you know. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a random question here because we start to wrap this up. Got about a minute left, okay. So don't feel pressure to give me a couple. One historical event that you could witness, but obviously I can't have you impacting history because, you know, the ramifications are endless.
What historical event
would you go to watch?
Boy, it would be great to see Nikola Tesla fire up that coil for the first time, wouldn't it? it would be something.
Yeah, or
that's
Franklin,
one I can think off the top.
Or Franklin with the key. Or Franklin with the key. I mean, getting shocked.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so many. Yeah, you know, landing on the moon. I mean, I was a little kid. I was 4. I don't remember it obviously, but yeah, just so much. Boy, it's something I'd really have to sit and think. But yeah. Those are some of the ones right up the top of my head.
So many fun things. A lot of good things to think about. So,
Hey,
thanks for hanging out with me.
Oh, hey, I had a blast, man.
Views and opinions expressed on the Mallard Report are
right,
those of the host and
yeah,
participants.
Yeah, you too. Hopefully we see you next in 1 month
past
from today.
Shows, social media links,
have a good night.
And so much more.
All right, thank you.
Visit Mallard.com. MALLIARD.com. And thanks for listening.
And talk.
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!